Good morning. Welcome to Words from the Honeycomb with Joanna Eccles. Today, we will be studying Lesson 3 of the Whole Armor of God. It is on the breastplate of righteousness. And what we will be going over today is why a breastplate and what is righteousness, the word study of righteousness, what our righteousness is like, where righteousness gets us, and then how we apply God's righteousness in our lives. Let's get praying. So, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much that we have this opportunity today to study your word together, Lord, to hear what you have to teach us about your righteousness, Lord, and about the breastplate of righteousness as it plays into part of our armor of God. Lord, I don't want to say anything that you don't want me to say, Lord, so I pray that my words would be yours, that you would guide my tongue, Lord, that you would have the Holy Spirit here, Lord, to speak, Lord, your words and your insight on your righteousness, God, and that you would also bless the listeners so that they would be able to understand what you have to share with them, God, that their ears would be full of the Holy Spirit and they would have Holy Spirit ears, Lord, that are filled with your truth and understanding of your righteousness at the end of our lesson today, God. Thank you for what you want to share with us, Lord. We love you and praise you when we can't wait to know you better and to know you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, first thing we're going to look at in the breastplate of righteousness is in Ephesians 6:14, that's the first part of the armor of God that they put on. It says, having put on a breastplate of righteousness. Now, when I sat down to study this, I kept thinking, why a breastplate? What does a breastplate do? What function does it serve? How does it play in our lives? And basically, the breastplate, what it does is it guards our hearts and our chest cavities. So it guards all of our vital organs and the matters of the heart, and it keeps us safe from attack, from frontal attack of the enemy. That is what you have a breastplate for. And then you think, okay, that's nice. I'm glad I'm not going to die. That's good to have a breastplate. Yep, I'll take one of those. But why specifically a breastplate in terms of righteousness? So we're going to look at a couple of verses right now. The first verse that came to my mind for this was Proverbs 4:23. And I'm actually going to read it in a couple of versions because I like the nuances and the difference between it, even though they all mean the same thing. So Proverbs 4:23 in the NASB is, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And in the NIV, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And I like this concept of guarding your heart, watching over it with all diligence. In the New King James, it talks about keeping your heart. But I like these stronger words of watching over and guarding your heart, because that's what a breastplate does. It guards our hearts. And the reason we need to guard our heart is because back in the day when the Jewish people would talk about guarding your heart, they weren't just talking about guarding your emotions, which is what we typically in Western society associate with the heart, is our emotional side. But what they had was the whole being of a person. The heart included not just the emotions, but also how people thought about things and their rational side, as well as their volition, which is their will and desire to do something that would decide between, am I going to choose to follow my heart and my emotions, or am I going to choose to follow my rational thinking and my mind, my brain? And sometimes, fortunately, what we really need to do is to be seeking out and following God's instructions, because sometimes they won't make sense to our rational mind or our emotional mind, but we choose to follow God because he knows what's best. And we guard our hearts and we guard those places in our mind, and we don't let evil seep in. We don't let lies seep into our hearts. That's why we have this breastplate over it, because it protects the whole of us as a being. Our being is not just our body, but who we are as a personality and the things that compose and make us up. That's what we have to guard with this breastplate. And we guard it with all diligence because our lives spring forth from that and the things that we think and we say and we do. And that is why we need a breastplate to cover those areas of our lives. The next thing we're going to look at is, okay, that's nice. I gotta guard my heart. Good, good. Know this. Maybe that's why I need a breastplate. But why a breastplate of righteousness? Why would righteousness need to be what is guarding my heart and my thoughts and my emotions and my will? Like, why is righteousness what's going to help protect those things? And so what we're going to look at first is just kind of defining righteousness. If you look in the Bible, it's really exciting. The word righteousness is actually used 302 times in the New King James Version, 214 times in the Old Testament, and 88 times in the New Testament. And the Old Testament word, gesagda, is to be moral, right, cleansed, and clear. And the Greek word is dikaiosune, which is to be in character or to act right, innocent, just, holy, and equitable. So this is something that is pure, that is right, that is clean, that is moral. And when we have those things in our life, that's what righteousness is. And it says in Isaiah 51, verse 7, it says, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults." And it's God is talking to his people, saying, you who know righteousness, he defines them as those people in whose heart is his law. When we hide God's word in our law, you're going to hear me talk about this every time. Hide God's word in your heart. It keeps us from sin. We memorize scripture. We keep his words inside of us. We treasure them. We mull over them. We meditate on God's word because it helps us to know God and what he desires and what he's like, and also helps give us the strength through the power of the Holy Spirit to actually do what is right. So that's a kind of definition of righteousness. But looking at that then, what is our own righteousness as people like? And basically, there's this interesting verse, Isaiah 64, 6, that says, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Okay, so I looked into this filthy rags thing. It has a really awful mental image that is associated with it, because basically those filthy rags are the menstrual rags that women used to use back in the day. Yeah. So think bloody, smelly pile of rags. Yeah, that's what our righteousness is like. And we keep wanting to think, no, I did something good. I was nice. I was kind. I helped somebody out. But all it adds up to at the end of our day, if we've done it ourselves and in our own strength and not with God, is a pile of stinky, smelly, bloody rags. That's what our righteousness is like. And then you go to the New Testament and you read Romans 3:10. It says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Basically, no one is righteous, because all of our self-righteousness that we try to pass off as purity and cleanness and moral rightness is really stinky, smelly, yucky, impure stuff. Yeah, so that's what our righteousness looks like. Well, where does it get us? The thing is, I don't know about you, I like to feel like I'm this good person that tries really, really hard to do the right thing and that I can do it. And sometimes there's things, of course, that I know, okay, this is too big of a boulder for me to carry. God, I need help. But on the little things, you know, I don't want to bother God. And God's like, bother me, because honey, you can't do anything apart from me. You can't. And that's because, you know, our righteousness doesn't get us anywhere. And sometimes we think, oh, God did this good thing for me and I got this new job or I got this new car or this good thing happened because I'm so good. And God's like, no. So sometimes when God gives good things to us, it's not because we're so great. It's actually because other people are more unrighteous and had messed up more. If you look in Deuteronomy 9:4, it says, "Do not think in your heart after the Lord your God cast them out from before you, saying, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you." And so basically, the children of Israel were trying to think, yeah, we're so good. That's why we got the chosen promise, or the chosen people, and we're going into the promised land. And God's like, you wanted to complain like little babies the whole time you were in the wilderness, even though I protected you, gave you food, gave you water, gave you meat, and didn't even let your shoes or your sandals wear out, or your socks and clothing. Come on. God's like, yeah, it's not your righteousness that got you here. These people in the land, they're more wicked. And further on in Deuteronomy, he warns them that if they increase their wickedness that way, that they'll be cast out of the land as well, which we all know did happen when they were sent into captivity and into exile. So, you know, God brought them back because he said he would, but it wasn't their righteousness that landed them there to begin with. And we need to be careful when something good happens that we don't get all puffed up pride and thinking, oh, yeah, I've done this. And so that is a good verse for that. Another good verse for this is Romans 4, 4 through 6. It says, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as God also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. So I tie this verse in very closely with Romans 6:23, which says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And says, who to him who works, that's the person who is working in their own self-righteousness and in their own ability trying to get to God, that what our paycheck, what we deserve for our wages for that is death. Even not just our sin, the wages of sin is death, but our self-righteousness counts as sin because it's us trying to do things apart from God. But look at this, it's beautiful. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from work. So here's the beauty of it. We don't get righteousness from anything we do. There's nothing we can do. It all comes by God's grace to us through our faith in Christ. It's, if you think about it too, God told Abraham, that said about Abraham, that Abraham believed in God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It's a belief. It's a faith. It's trusting that God is who he says he is and will do what he says he will do. And that his payment for our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross is sufficient to pay for our sins, that we cannot pay the debt that we owe. There's no way our filthy rags are going to pay off what we need with the pure blood of Christ that only his sinless, spotless blood could pay. And I compare this as well to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, where it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of ourselves, that it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing in our lives that we can go around boasting about because we have no righteousness in and of ourselves. We don't have any good that we can say, oh, huh, look at me here. I did this, God. You should pick me for your team. I hit the winning, you know, game and I kicked the winning goal. And God's like, I don't operate like that. You don't earn your salvation. It is a gift of my great grace toward you. And I love the beauty of this. David describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. It's beautiful. And it's this crazy exchange that God does with us where he says, yeah, see those yucky, smelly, bloody rags in the corner? I will give you my pure, clean, white linen garment in exchange for those. You get my righteousness and I'll take your filthy rags. And it's kind of mind-boggling because I sit there and go, oh, God, you know that's not quite a fair exchange. And he's like, yeah, but you have faith in me and I can change you and I give you my righteousness. It's this beautiful exchange that Christ did for us on the cross and made it possible for us to know him. And so how do we have faith in God? And how do we get God's righteousness? What does it do to change us, Lord? And I love this one here in Philippians chapter 3. It's verses 6 through 9. And it's Paul talking about the areas that he is working on in his own life where he had previously thought, oh yeah, I'm so righteous and I'm so good. And let me read you this passage right here. Philippians 3, 6 through 9. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That's what Paul was saying that he had done. That his righteousness in the law that he had done, he was blameless concerning that. Then he goes on to say, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And this is what I was addressing a little bit earlier. Again, our righteousness is not by any of our own doing. Anything of us saying, yeah, we've kept those 10 commandments, God. We have kept your law. Because quite honestly, each and every one of us knows in our hearts that we have not kept the law, that we are all lawbreakers, even when we don't want to break the law, the same way that Paul talks about, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. The thing is, we are all sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we can't have any righteousness that comes from the law if we've all broken the law. It doesn't add up. And God says that if we're guilty in one point, we're guilty of it all. But we do have righteousness, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. When we go to God for faith, He gives us His righteousness imputed to us. So it changes us from the inside out, and that's that great exchange. I like this passage here in Titus as well. Titus 3, 4 through 7. But when the kindness and the love of our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So this is what's going on here. It's, again, we get God's righteousness because of His mercy, and that He has cleansed us and made us pure through the power and the renewing generation of the Holy Spirit, that we have been justified by His grace. It's God's grace, God's mercy, that we are able to be right toward God. It's the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, that has appeared before mankind, before people, to let Him know we can't do anything to earn this, but we have that great and merciful and loving of a God. He's just so good. He's like, I want people to be reconciled back to me. I want to have a relationship with them. I want to be able to look on them and be righteous because I can't with their sin. I can't look on them. And back to this being blessed prey of righteousness. This is this righteousness, this purity, this holiness, this moral rightness, this correctness that guards our hearts. It protects our chest. It protects the core of our vital organs of who we are. And it's how God starts to see us instead of seeing us as the dirty, yucky, filthy rag pile. Now, how do we apply God's righteousness in our life? And I don't know if it's really how we apply God's righteousness, but how we allow God to impute that righteousness to us may be a better way to put it. And I think one of the big things is, I love this verse here in Matthew 5, verse 6. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." But when we hunger and we thirst for righteousness, we will be filled. God doesn't say, "Gee, golly, you want to be like me? You want to be pure and holy? Go sort it out on your own." You know, He doesn't operate like that. He's like, "Yeah, you will be filled." But many times, interestingly enough, the way that God is able to fill us with His righteousness is by His discipline to us. And His discipline being part of God's grace to us so that we don't further get entrenched in our sin, but that we can live lives of freedom from that sin. If you look in Hebrews 12:11, it says, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it." And I love this verse. This verse was very much like my life verse last year, because I went through a time of real chastening where God really had to get rid of some stuff in my life that needed to be dealt with, and just thought patterns of putting other things unintentionally and not even knowing I was doing it before God. And God's like, no, I love you too much to let that happen. And it's painful and it hurts, but afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. And that's the beauty of it, is when God chastens us, when He disciplines us, what He does is He brings to the forefront, He brings to the top the areas of our life with sin patterns and wrong thoughts and wrong actions that need to be addressed. And He lets them simmer and boil and hurt so that He can get rid of them. That's what He does. God just loves us enough so that we are not trying to be working on our own righteousness and our own strength for everything that we do, but He allows us to be disciplined out of His grace, out of His love for us, so that we may become more righteous and reflect Him better. Because while we have that positional righteousness that God has imputed to us, we still have our own sins and our own struggles. And God allows us to be refined because he wants us to better reflect him and to better to look like him. And that only comes through chastening. But it does truly yield that peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. It's a training ground. It's a proving ground. And it's not easy, but it's totally worth it. So how are you, in the armored up moving forward section that we're looking at right now, how are you relying on God's righteousness and on not your own? What things have you been trying to do in your own strength? I know I struggle with these things myself. Like, God, you know, I can't get my brother a job, you know, but man, you know, I think I have my own job. I'm doing fine. And so you help with this area of health or job or whatever, but I've got these things under control. They're too little. I don't want to bother you. But the beauty of you, God, the beauty of you is that God knows in his beauty that we can't do things on our own strength. So he will let us fail, and sometimes miserably, in those areas to show us. He will discipline us. But what he does and what he brings out of that is this growing dependency on him so that we can have his righteousness and not ours. And that it will be a breastplate that guards our hearts and our chest cavities, that guards the vital organs of our lives so that we are safe in of who we are from the onslaught of the enemy. So in closing, just to review what we talked about today, what is righteousness? It is being pure and blameless, right and holy before God. What is our own righteousness and where does it get us? Well, basically our own righteousness gets us nowhere but hell. And I don't mean that flippantly, I mean that seriously. The wages of sin is death. That's hell, that's permanent separation from God. That's what they deserve. Even the best things we do, all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. But praise God, there is a great exchange. God exchanges our filthy rags for his righteousness by grace through faith. When we have faith in God, he imputes his righteousness to us and he covers over our sins. And it is by grace through faith. That is how we are made righteous in Christ. And the way that we can grow in our righteousness is by hungering and thirsting for righteousness and knowing that God will fill us up and not bucking or fighting God when he disciplines us, knowing that that's honestly his grace toward us so that we don't get, you know, further off the track and further off the trail that God has for us, that we can really be brought back into that right relationship with him and be more righteous and reflect God better. So that is our lesson for today. I'm so happy that you were here. I really pray that you will spend some time reflecting on the breastplate of righteousness in your life. And if you need more resources for growing in Christ and to hear the other podcasts from the Words from the Honeycomb that are on this lesson of the whole armor of God, please go to the Words from the Honeycomb website and you will be able to find lots of resources there. That's wordsfromthehoneycomb.com. There are blogs and other podcasts, and you can find the soon enough find the Bible study there online to buy as well that goes along with this with all the verses. Thank you so much for being with us today. I just pray that God really teaches you and helps you in your daily life to guard your thoughts, guard your heart with all diligence, and guard it with the righteousness of Christ that he has imputed to us by his great grace. I love you and have a great day. God bless.